Here's the Lord spoke to me. He said, America, the land of the pagans, the home of the bound, the people of yesterday who still cling to a faded glory, your time to ride in the back seat has come. Your destiny has been sealed. You have chosen your course by rejecting me. You've abandoned your covenant, and your land is revolting against you. Even nature refuses to hold your habitation of lust and filth. Why is it strange to you when the earth convulses? Even a dog vomits and returns to it. Yet you wallow in it with no shame, no conscience, no concern for your stench and rottenness. Your day of reckoning is upon you. My word is the fuller's soap. My judgments are the process of making the nations clean again. And that process begins with you. My bride, I'm calling you to prepare yourselves. Stay clean and unspotted from this world. Hide yourself in me. For my anger is for a little while. It will pass. And I will rain times of refreshing upon you. Stay clean, stay ready, and stay faithful. Father God, thank you for this message today. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross and let Jesus get all the praise and all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody everywhere said amen and amen. Powerful words indeed. Definitely not a holiday beginning message whatsoever. But I believe America has been on enough holidays. Let me try that again. I think the Church of Jesus Christ in America has had enough holidays. I think we've celebrated enough of the carnal fakeness of so-called holy days that it's time to be serious about the things of God. Now, I love joy, and I love laughter, and I love fun, but there's a time when it's called for us to be serious. There's a time when there's urgency, and we're living in that day. And I know churches have their moments, and they take breaks on holidays, and that gives the pastor an extra vacation day on the calendar. Come on, somebody. And he doesn't have to preach as hard and get a sermon together, and he's got the missionettes and the dinettes. Come on, somebody, and the Rockettes and everybody else helping out on the particular program, if you will. But most of our holiday programs in the church are carnal anyways. I don't have time to go into it. Maybe I will on this message, but it's a fact. And I'm not interested in carnality. I'm interested in fruit. I'm interested in the presence of God. I'm interested in leaving a footprint on the back of the devil's head. Is anybody here today and doing something for God while I yet have time on this earth? Should he allow me to traverse on it another day, another moment longer? And so let's get busy with that today. The title of this message is called Jeremiah 3, The Destiny of America. Jeremiah 3, The Destiny of America. If that's too much for you to write, just put The Destiny of America or just simply J3, whatever you know how to spell. Jeremiah chapter 3, The Destiny of America. Again, this is not a holiday message whatsoever. Those watching a live stream, I love you. Those watching by media platforms and listening by radio, we love and appreciate you. Thank you for your prayers and thank you for your support. And I bless you in Jesus' name. I'm giving you a chance to get to Jeremiah chapter 3. I want to begin this message by giving you a little bit of a backdrop that God was dealing with Israel, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. He was dealing with Judah in specific terms because of what happened to the northern kingdom, in which I will relate to you momentarily. But he was pleading with these people, his people, to come back to God because of their infidelity. He was pleading with them because there was great judgment coming. And the pleading that Jeremiah had was not the pleading of his own self, but of God speaking through him. Just as I am standing before you today in the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of grace, God is pleading with America. Not as a corporate entity of a nation, but he's pleading with the people thereof. Governments are governments. Structures are structures. Sticks and stones are what they are. They are tangible things. They are things that are built. But God is dealing with the soul of America. He's dealing with the minds and the hearts of not only the heathen, the pagans, but also his own people. He's talking to a humanity in a very loud way, but it seems that we're not listening to him. And therefore, he sends prophets and watchmen. He sends preachers and men and women of God with a message that seems harsh, but it is harsh. And it has to be taken with urgency. Are you there in Jeremiah 3? The destiny of America. So he's speaking to this backslidden people. He says, they say if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her? He's bringing forth this question of infidelity and fornication and adultery and divorce and remarrying for a reason, because the answer is no. According to Deuteronomy chapter 24, dealing specifically with an Old Testament principle. We're not talking New Testament. What he's doing is showing them that you have left God, you have left your first love, you have brought a divorcement unto me. Exactly what he's speaking to the nation today, speaking to the body of Christ, speaking to those who are baptized pagans, for those that have fallen away from Christ and the truth of the word, we've become estranged from God. We've divorced him. And he asked this question very pointedly, and they knew the answer, and the answer was no. Shall not the land be greatly polluted? In other words, if they went against Deuteronomy 24 and they went against the principles of what God had established in righteousness, the land would become polluted. It was a warning. And thus it became polluted because they did not return unto God and they divorced and left their love, and therefore they left a stain upon their land. And the same transparent understanding for us today is this, that we have left a stain on our nation because we have left God. We've left our first love. I said we've left our first love. If you look at the church today, it's proven statistically that there are not many in the body that truly pursue him. There's not much fire in the house of God. There's not much passion in the heart and lives of people. We don't witness like we used to. We don't testify how good God is. We don't talk about how he got up on that third day. But we talk about our church and the bingo club and the soup. Come on, somebody. The soup and chili cell and all the fish fry and all the stuff we do. Well, we don't talk about the Savior and the cross of Jesus Christ. We've divorced ourselves. We've divorced ourselves from Holy Ghost preaching. We don't preach anymore like we used to. No, we're too fancy today, and we have eloquent speech and all philosophies and all these garbage that you hear going on television today, trying to get to your mind. Honey, I don't want to get to your mind. I want to get to your heart, because when I get to your heart, it'll affect your mind. You'll start thinking straight when you start believing straight. I wish somebody help me today. And see, Holy Ghost preaching does that. It burns past philosophies of men and doctrines of devils, and it speaks to the heart of humanity. But that's why it's resisted. I said that's why prophetic Holy Ghost preaching is resisted, because it bothers you. It doesn't bother me. I'm not nervous. I'm enjoying myself, by the way. And shall not the land be greatly polluted? The answer is yes, but thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Now listen, this is God talking through Jeremiah. If a preacher says this, everybody gets mad about it. God says it and people get mad about it because nobody wants to hear the truth. God just lays it out, man. That's what I love about him. He doesn't hide and seek and play around. He didn't do patty cake. God just tells it like it is. He says it in love, but he tells it truthful. He said, you're acting like a bunch of harlots. Watch this. Happy Resurrection Day, by the way. You must watch this. But thou hast played the harlot with how many? Many lovers, yet returned again to me. Really, that's a bad translation of King James. It should say, would you return to me again, saith the Lord. I'm asking you. You've been playing the harlot, but will you return to me? That's the question. Will you return? Well, is God going to bring judgment on America? Will America return? Is this or that going to happen? Well, will we turn? Will we turn from our wicked ways? Will we humble ourselves and pray? Will we ask God to visit us again? Will we humble ourselves and say, God, bring a holy visitation and habitation of your glory? Will we? God doesn't answer that question, you do. He responds according to your answer. Lord, I turn. I don't want to be like the wicked. I don't want to be connected with the heathen. I live among them, but I don't have to live like them. But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet would you return to me, saith the Lord? Listen to me now. I'm telling you, the Lord is pleading with America. He's pleading with folks today. I know the atmosphere is Easter bunnies today and plastic fake banana stuff. I understand that today. I understand what's happening in the church today. People out there running around doing Easter egg hunt. Is anybody here? I was so glad when it rained yesterday because they were canceled. I was like, way to go, God, bring the flood. Let it, who cares? Let them eggs roll on down the Lake Hartwell. Who cares? See, y'all don't think like I do. That's the way I think. It's Jesus's day, buddy. It ain't no bunny rabbit. That old bunny rabbit never done nothing for you. Come on, somebody. You can cut his foot off. It ain't lucky. It wasn't lucky for the rabbit to get his foot cut off. Is anybody here? How lucky is that? I call it the unlucky rabbit. And the whole region, the whole area, people just so enamored with Easter and bunnies and candy and all this craziness. Honey, instead of having an Easter egg hunt, why don't we have a cross hunt? Why don't we go look for the cross? Why don't we go find Jesus somewhere? Why don't we hunt for him, huh? Why don't we hunt for revival? Well, this is just a children's thing. We just want to teach. No, what you're doing is you're mixing paganism, come on, with the greatest day on the earth of our lives to celebrate Passover. And you want to go look for an egg. How dumb is that? Now, people are going to write to me, we used it for Christ because the scripture's in the egg. Who cares if you put scriptures in the egg? You're still going after an egg. The scripture didn't come from an egg. The scripture came from Christ and the king. It came from the cross. Some egg. Now somebody get mad at me. Say, well, we just use this for evangelism. I understand that. So just get off, man. Just take it easy. I get you use things, but it's the point. We're at a position in a time in our country, in our nation, we ought not be playing with God. I said, I'd not be playing with the things of God, especially the church. But no, people won't get all mad. They're going to write to me. Big Bunny's going to get me. Watch what he says here. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not lain with. Woo! Let me, do you understand what he just said? He said, why don't you look up on the high places and there ain't a place that you ain't hoard around at. I'm about to run around this place. All right. You hoard around with everybody and everything. Anything that walked, you jumped on it. Somebody ought to say amen. You know it's the truth. Because when you lived in the world, you were the same way. Like a dog chasing a bumper. Oh, I see. You're too holy for me. You got Casbury mindset today. Whatever that stupid bunny thing is. Just chocolate head. Huh? You know it's the truth. I mean, hey, I can feel it. I know where this message is going, and it's just people resisting against it, but I don't care. I will kill your bunny rabbit today. Today is the day we slaughter the bunny rabbit. It's going down. That golden calf, that golden bunny, he's going down. I'm going to break them ears off. Is anybody here today? Because we're talking about Christ and him being crucified. Come on, we're talking about him being resurrected. We're talking about him sitting on the right hand of God forevermore. We're talking about Jesus, our Savior. Not some chocolate bunny that'll make you fat anyways. Take out your teeth if you got any left. Come on, somebody. Mess up your glaucoma. What is that? I don't know. Watch this. Lift up your eyes unto the high places and see what thou hast not lain with. You've been laying with everybody. It don't make no difference what they look like. They tall, they small, they fat. Come on, help me, church. It don't make no difference if they white, they black, they zebra, they don't know who they is. They from overseas, underseas, it don't matter where they bees. You going after them like honey and a bee. Some of y'all don't remember what you used to be before you got saved. I know who I was. Come on now. And he's saying to the nation, he's looking at them and he's saying, to who haven't you lied with? You look at America today, there's not one institution in America that's not stained with some type of sexual perversion. Not one. Whether it's the Boy Scouts or whether it's our military, whether it's our politicians or whether it's some other institution, education, daycares, gymnastics. A little child can't even go learn gymnastics without some devil pawing on them. You know what's the truth. Hollywood and the corruption and Motown and has-beens and all these other people in Nashville, all this craziness of the institutions of our world have been affected by sexual lust and sin. It's the truth. Who haven't we lied with? Who haven't we as a church lied? Look what goes on inside the house of God. Bringing in false religions. Bringing in paganism, allowing homosexuality and transgenderism to just cascade through its very vein system, if you will, like cancer, for the very course of the heart of the church. Come on now, it's the truth. And we've laid with anybody. It don't make no difference. It's the way it is. And God says, I see it. I see it in the nation and I see it in the house. And I'm pleading with you because what I'm going to do and what I'm going to make happen to you through judgment, you're not going to like it, but you need it. I will be your fuller's soap. I'm telling you today, folks, I have to be the one in my assignment today to bring this announcement to you. But God has a destiny for America, and that destiny is judgment because of our sin. Who haven't we lied with? That's right. We sit there and we fight against communism, socialism. We do the same. We come against false religious countries and all these different things and come against Islam. We do the same. We are hypocritical as a nation. And God says, I see it all. The only people that don't see judgment are church folk. Church folk that go to church, that go to dum-dum church. They go to a church to where all they do is they just focus on their selves and their promises, problems, and the promises of getting out of those problems and becoming a millionaire and successful. They don't see the judgment. He said, who have you not lied with? I'm going to tell you, that's powerful right there. All across our country, every institution, doesn't matter if it's entertainment, doesn't matter if it's sports, doesn't matter what it is. It's been tainted. Watch this. You've lied with them in the way that thou hast sat for them. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about being a prostitute on the street. You've laid with everybody. You sat on the corner waiting to catch them, to bring them into idolatry. Just sat there with your plaited hair and your eyes all dolled up and batting like that, trying to bring attention to yourself. You drew them into your harlotry. You drew them into your idolatry. You drew them into your unrighteousness. And that's exactly what's happening in our country today. That's exactly what's happening in our churches today. We're drawing others into our harlotry and idolatry. It's a fact. People don't like to hear the message, but it's the truth. We're doing it with the nations. There's nobody that exports more pornography in the world than America. None. The sewage that we let out on our radio and our TV and movie and all these things, these types of platforms, is putrid. But it's exactly what we do. We sit like that harlot on the side of the road waiting for the prey. You know what? A true harlot doesn't even charge. As the actually it should be translated Arab, Arabian in the wilderness. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Arab in this particular context of a robber and a thief. So like a prostitute waiting for its prey, like a robber, a thief to plunder. Watch now. Thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. It's amazing. We do all these things, as I mentioned. And I know somebody said, well, here you go. He's just harping on these things. No, but it's amazing to me that we allow sin to be like sewage in our entertainment, in our industries of life, in the institutions of life. We allow this stuff to go on, and then judgment comes and pollution comes and children are shooting up schools. Come on, somebody. As young as 6 years old, shooting their teachers, and craziness is happening, and we wonder why we're polluted. And we blame it on politics, we blame it on legislation, we blame it on a D or an R by its name, and all these different things, instead of looking at the human heart and realizing that we're the ones that have played the whore. I'm talking to America now. You say, where does the church fit in? The church fits in because we play the whore with them. We ought to be separate and be different than them. We ought to hush their mouths when they begin to speak trash around us and show us these things and want us to be a part of it. Say, no, I don't play in pornography. I don't hang out with adulterers. I don't speak the words of fornication. I don't talk about looking that opposite sex or the same sex. Come on, somebody. I keep myself clean. I keep myself focused before God. Well, we don't like that. See, that's holiness preaching. No, that's Bible preaching. That's just Christian life. But we don't talk about this no more. I guarantee you can flip the channels. Very few folks you'll find out there talking about holiness. Like I said, they're talking about that bunny right now. And if they ain't talking about the bunny, they're talking about money. Or something funny. Funny, bunny, money. I mean, just something. Something to keep you entertained, but don't you dare holler at me. But our land is polluted. Remember, please, in the context, God, through Jeremiah, is pleading. Listen to me. If you were going off of the edge of a cliff, would you appreciate me if I hollered or whispered? Which one would you like? I'm going to holler as loud as I can. Hey, you're going over a cliff. See, we don't do that. No, we want our preacher to say, hey, I just want to let you know, you're about to, you're going to go off that cliff. Don't tell me that. First of all, I got the radio so loud I can't even hear you. Second of all, listen, I don't even believe you talking to me. Come on now, holler at me. Let me know. And God is telling Jeremiah, I want you to go and I want you to plead with these people. I'm pleading with you today. You say, well, you're talking to saved people. I'm not talking to all saved folk now. We're preaching to a whole lot of folk. We got mixed up people. We got people don't know who they are. We got people that are saved. We got people that wish they were saved. We got all kinds of mixed bag going on. And I'm not responsible for where this message goes, so I have to preach it. And Jeremiah's like, I'm pleading with you. What is coming down the road you're not ready for? You say, why does it matter to me if I don't need a physician? Because you need to warn other folks too. You need to have the unction and the fire of urgency to warn your family. Tell them the truth. Quit hiding behind politeness. Oh my God. We need to stop being polite. I don't mean whipping out the family Bible and giving them a concussion. That might be good. Then you can witness to them in ICU. But my point is you speak the word and say, I can't, listen, I want to talk to you. Listen, I want to talk to you about your infidelity. I want to talk to you about your unrighteousness. I want to talk about your carnality. I want to talk to you about what church you go to. I want to talk to you about your soul. Can we just talk about salvation for a minute? Oh, no. Don't give me no lip service. Don't give me what you learned on a little card. I want to know, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Would you die for him? Would you yet live for him? I want to know. See, we're too afraid. We don't want to bother anybody. Honey, you need to bother them because they're going over on a cliff. You don't know what hell could be unleashed tomorrow. You don't know what this nation will face. That's the kind of conditions we are in. We are in the time of the unknown. Of course, we know scripture, but we don't know every aspect of the dominoes. When they fall and how they fall, we don't know. We listen and we're aware of it. But I'm telling you, things can change tomorrow for somebody. Even if it's not a monumental judgment, it could be something personal in your life that changes you. Are you ready? I said, are you ready for a new America? Are you ready for God to judge? I believe there are not many that are. Verse 3. Therefore the showers have withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. What is this talking about? The latter rain is springtime, March and April. Talking about there's no rain, meaning there's no harvest. Watch. He was giving them an illustration of judgment. I've brought judgment to you. I've shown you I'm shaking the earth. Listen to me, America. I've shaken you. I've shaken the economy. I've shaken the politics of your day. I have shaken this and I have shaken that. I have proved to you that I am judging. Though I have not full throttled it, I am pushing on the pedal, and pressure will continue in your country and around the world. I have warned you. Listen to what Jeremiah is telling him. And saying to the country, and thou hast a whore's forehead. Woo. Pastor, why are you and God so mad? No, I'm not mad at anybody. But here's what he's saying. I brought judgment to you and it didn't make a difference. You had a forehead like a whore. What does that mean? That means you don't blush anymore. I'm going to break this jacket and rip it off. I don't know how you break a jacket, Mark, but I'm going to do it. You don't blush no more. You don't have any more shame. Look it up. Jeremiah 6 and Jeremiah 8. Look at those two chapters. He talks about in verse 12 and verse 15. He talks about you don't blush anymore. There's no shame in you. Really, the translation should be you've got a whore's face. You think a whore is embarrassed? Whore is making money. She ain't embarrassed. She ain't shy. She don't say turn the light off. She don't hide behind a veil. Come on now, she's barely wearing anything to get you in that room. Or he's barely wearing anything to get you in that room. You've got a face like a whore. It don't bother you anymore. That's why we can do what we do in schools. We can teach all this craziness and just sewage coming out of our entertainment institutions and all the things that we do. And nobody's embarrassed by it. Transgenderism and LGBT barbecue and everything else that is out there, all the perversions, I'm speaking to those who are militant about it, pushing it down our throats, and nobody's ashamed. We put it on television like it's nothing. Commercials, that you watch these commercials, they used to be real subtle. Now they're not. Now they're two dudes hanging out holding hands, kissing each other over medication commercial. I don't know what the two have to do with each other, but I guess you're going to need medication. You kiss a dude. Yeah, you'll need it. You're going to need a transfusion too. Is anybody with me today? But there's no shame. Let our children watch anything. Don't go and check out what they're seeing at school. You better look through those books. Yeah, ban them books. Say something about it. Yeah, I got a problem with that. Yeah, I don't want him or her on the internet at 4. I'll teach them. I'll show them. I'll raise them up the way that they should go. The Holy Ghost will help them. And the fact, to be truthful about it, boy and girl don't need to learn anatomy. You either know it or you don't. Don't worry. You'll know when you get married. Somebody help me, church. But no, we got to raise them up so they know what to do. No, you don't. You ain't got to teach them nothing. They know what to do. It's in man. God made it that way. It's perversion to try to take a child out of its innocency and bring them into this craziness at such a young age. It's a diabolical plan of the devil. And the church doesn't say enough about it, because it's happening in the house of God too. You better know your youth pastor. You better know your children's minister. You better know your pastor. Is anybody here? Got a face like a whore. Say, well, that's terrible, boy. How could God say that? Because God was pleading with them. He uses the strongest language possible when he's pleading. Come on. I mean, when we're talking lovey-dove, it's, hey, you know, hey. But you know, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, you get down serious, it goes from hey. And that's what we need today in the body of Christ. Again, you say, why, Pastor, are you doing it to us? So this will be in your spirit, so that you would speak it to the nation. And everywhere you go, with urgency. Look at this, watch this. Therefore, the showers have been withholding, and there hath been no latter rain. In other words, I brought judgment, but you still got the face of a whore. And thou refusest to be ashamed. Jeremiah 6:15, look it up, Jeremiah 6:15 and Jeremiah 8:10. Look it up. You're not even ashamed. You don't care. There's no blushing. We, in fact, in America, we celebrate it. We call it diversity. God calls it disgusting. We call them being heroes, and God says, no, you're full of the devil. And the church is silent about it. And the church, come on now, the church wants to be politically correct, say, oh, we don't want to hurt anybody. Listen, I don't want to hurt nobody. I want to help somebody. But I'm not going to let the devil run over my family, run over your family, and run over our nation and not say something about it. Love the people, but hate the sin. See, my whole issue with anything, I don't care if it's adultery, fornication, it don't matter what kind of, it don't matter if it's gambling, it don't matter if it's drinking, it don't matter. My problem with vice is, number one, the militancy of it, of trying to make it right when it's wrong, and number two, it being in the house of God. It don't belong here. I said, it does not belong in the house of God. It does not belong in Christianity. It does not belong in your home. It doesn't belong in your lifestyle. It doesn't belong in your mouth. It doesn't belong in your mind. Holiness belongs in your mouth and mind and heart. That's what I'm talking about today. God is pleading. Listen, I understand not everybody's going to get clean and get saved, but some folks somewhere are going to get right, and somebody somewhere is going to stand up and say, not at my location, not at my house. You ain't doing it here. You want to go do it down the road, porcupine, go ahead, but you ain't doing it right here, baby doll. You ain't making me do it. Well, take your head. Have it. I don't like it anyway some mornings. Come on, Mary, you know what I'm talking about. Some mornings I can't get it right. No matter how I look, just can't get it fixed. Watch this. That refuses to be ashamed. That's America. We don't know shame. We don't blush. How in the world can you teach these little children the things that they do in school and not have a conscience about it, teacher? Now, I know we have good people in our church, good Christian people that refuse to teach certain things. And then some things are just right there you can't do anything about. But I'm going to tell you, there ought to be somebody somewhere that stands up and say, I'm not going to do that. You will not put me in this position no more. No mas. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pollute these little children. They're not going to look up at me and say, well, why didn't you say something? Come on. I'm going to break this microphone. I'm going to tell you something right now. With all this transgenderism and all this crazy stuff, if you're a teacher today or anybody in any institution of instruction, even the pastor, and you're allowing it to take place and aren't saying something about it, you're complacent with it. You're part of it, in my opinion. I mean, at least protest. Well, I lose my job. Good. You lost it in righteousness. Then you'll get promoted in righteousness. Come on now. I'm not talking about being a fool and making a scene. I'm just talking about standing up and saying, no, that's against my religion. Come on now. Because all the other religions can stand up and say, no, you can't do that. And we bow to that. But because you're a Christian, you can't do it. And they're going to walk on you. Too afraid. No, don't be afraid. Be bold. Why? We're pleading with you. Pleading. Crying out. Begging. Please. Don't do this. I'm telling you, folks, as I'm standing right here, judgment is coming to America in a greater manner and a greater force than you've ever seen before. I'm telling you. And I'm going to be on the right side of righteousness. I'm going to say something to somebody. I'll do it in love. Listen to me now. I'll do it in love. But when it comes to militancy, I'm not putting up with it. You just met militancy. And that's the way it should be. Come on. Either you're Barney Fife or you, come on, are you Rambo? What are you going to be? Somebody said, Chuck Norris. I go back a little further, Charles Bronson. Is anybody here? Man, that guy was tough. Van Cleef? Joshua loves Van Cleef. That dude, I can't even look like him, man. My nose is too pudgy. Watch this. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You're not ashamed. He says, wilt thou not turn, or wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art my guide of my youth. Wouldn't you think that when judgment comes and these things happen, you wouldn't cry out and say, you're the God of my youth? He's questioning him. He knows the answer. And this is my question and bewilderment to America and to the church. You see these things happening to you, but you won't cry out. You know the Bible. You know it's true, but you won't cry out to God. You won't cry out to Him to save your family, to save your neighborhood, to save your schools, to save the children. Come on. No, but we're going to chase bunny rabbits today. Instead of chasing the cross. Watch what he says here. Will he reserve his anger forever? No, he will not. This is why we have mercy in the midst of judgment. This is why we preach a message of hope. Will he keep it to the end? Nope. Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things that thou couldest. In other words, we've done it all. Look at what he says. I'm going to read it to you again. He said, you got a face like a whore. You just won't be ashamed. You won't blush. You're not embarrassed. And then he says, behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things that thou couldest. You did everything you possibly could to be evil. Come on, church. Come on, let's wake up for a second and think about our nation. And think about the evil and the unrighteousness having sexual relationships with robots. That's happening in America. Oh, we're just going to talk today on this Happy Easter Day. Come on now. Whether it's a robot, something cyber, something virtual reality, or even demons. I brought this out many years ago where certain entertainers are having sexual intercourse with demons. And ain't nobody blushing about it. Nobody sad about it. Still buying the albums. Still supporting them. Now finding out all kinds of people coming out as freaks. I wish somebody help me, boy. I feel all alone here. Come on now. If it ain't trees, it's barnyard animals. If it's not barnyard animals, it's children. Folks, the Bible declares that men will be lovers of themselves. It's all about pleasing. It's all about what can I get to satisfy me. You got no shame, God says. And I'm telling America today, you've got no shame. Our hearts ought to be broken. Multiplied millions of children are sold into sex trafficking in America and in this neighborhood and in this nation and in this state. It's happening. Where's the broken hearts? Where's the support for law enforcement? Praying for our officers and people that are involved in investigating these things who have to go home to their children after seeing these things. You don't know that's a plague on them? No, we're in our bubble because I gotta pay my bills. I gotta do what's good for me. Instead of opening our eyes and saying, you know what? That stuff is trivial. My bills and my stuff is trivial compared to this. My pain, my problems, what I'm dealing with cannot compare to what a young child is going through right now somewhere in this nation and the world, being treated like animals, like meat at a market. That doesn't bust your heart. That doesn't burn within you. That doesn't make you ashamed and tearful. Knowing it happens even under the watchful eye of our own nation, our own government. I don't have time to go into that and dispute it with you. The facts are the facts. We're living in an unrighteous nation. And the church sits back idly worrying about what we're going to do next with our building, what we're going to do next with our money, and what next holiday's coming up. I promise you that big church, they plan out their year by holidays. Yes, they do. Denominations start sending out their quarterlies, and it's got all the information on what you do, like a puppet. Come on, July 4th is coming up. Everybody get your little hat out. Come on, get your little flag and your little sparklers. Woo! We're going to celebrate America. Come on, somebody. You say, you're anti. I'm not anti-nothing. What I am is I'm against Antichrist. I'm against things that take us away from Christ, that take us away from the reason we're here today. And I'm pleading because we're in an emergency session today. Church ought to be from this time forward an emergency meeting where we get together with urgency and hear the strategy of heaven. How do we win our neighbor and family? How do we do it? How do we touch folks? How do we show your glory, God? To a perverse, crooked, terminal generation, wicked, got a face like a whore. Do you see what he's saying? Please stay with me. You've done all that you could. You've done all that you could. Verse 6, the Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king. Now watch this. Remember last week we were in Jeremiah chapter what? 7. Is that right? And we were talking about King Josiah, and we were talking about the fake Reformation. There was a fake revival going on and a fake restoration of things outwardly, but inwardly Judah was still in its sin. They were still whoring after idols. They were still having orgies. Come on, somebody, in the temples. They were still following after false gods. Watch what Jeremiah is saying. God knew about it. The Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah, so in the days of a fake revival, and the days of lip service, then the days of forms of godliness, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up every high mountain and every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Now watch. He's talking to Judah, but he's using the northern kingdom, Samaria. He's using them as an illustration. I'll explain it to you. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. He came to the northern kingdom and he said, repent. He sent his prophets and he said, repent. He cried unto them and he said, repent, 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 and they would not. 93 years earlier, in this particular prophecy, God destroyed them. Yes, he did. He destroyed them for their sin. Now he's giving Judah an illustrated sermon that I'm going to deal with you like I did with them if you don't turn. Boom. Hello, somebody. Look at Rome. Gone. Look at Greece. Gone. Look at Persia. Gone. Look at the nations of the world that once stood towering above all the other nations. Gone. Look at the dynasties of the world and the czars of the Russian Empire. Gone. And we are America and are ignorant and arrogant and think because we have a little G as a God and we do what we do and we flaunt it in front of that same God who judged those people in those days, including Israel, that he won't do it to us. You better believe he will. And you get the double portion because you said you were his. Come on now. I can correct a child if he's doing wrong in the store somewhere. Say, hey, y'all not do that. It's a whole lot different when it's mine. I can whip up on him. Folks, help me. Now, you ain't going to touch my child. And I shouldn't touch yours, but I can sure say something like, you know, that's wrong what you're doing there, bud. How many of y'all ever done that before? I have. And then look at the parents and say, what's wrong with you? Oh, I know why they're doing it. Wearing pajamas to Walmart. Watch this. I'm just telling you. Put some stinking clothes on, man. It's out. You're outdoors. I don't need to know if you're wearing boxers or not. Watch this. She's gone up to every high mountain. Debbie says, please. And every green tree. And there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she has done all these things, turn unto me, but she returned not. And for her treacherous sister Judah, watch this, saw it. Why does the world do what it does? Many times it's because what they see us do. Why do our children do what they're doing? Because they see what we do. And we let them. Judah saw it. He saw the harlotry and the adultery. They saw the orgy. They saw everything. And they repeated what they learned. Now watch this. This is what I'm talking about. The Easter egg and all this phony baloney church stuff. The children learn by what we teach them. If you would teach them the cross and teach them righteousness and teach them holiness and teach them abstinence, stay away from the opposite. Come on now. Stay away from the opposite sex until it's time to get married. Well, we're going to try things out. No, you don't need to try. It works. It works. There ain't nothing broken. If it's broken, they can fix it. You don't need to find out. Come on, we need to live together. There are more people in the church today living together outside of matrimony than there are literally outside of the church. It's a fact. It's the truth. And we don't say nothing about it. There's no shame. There's no correction. There's no, hey, we need to fix this thing. I'm just telling you the truth. I know because I did it. I know because I was a quasi-Christian. Watch, so somebody says, wow, I can't believe that. He's saved today. And her treacherous Judah saw it. Her sister saw it. Verse 8. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. Watch this. Y'all got about another 3 days? A bill of divorcement. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. See, we haven't learned. We don't learn when God judges. Because we're wrapped up in arrogancy. We're wrapped up in this coma, if you will, from our pastors who won't teach us and tell us the truth of how God really feels about sin. We think God is like us. And he is not. He's holy and he's separate. And he wants us to be removed from those things. Even the very appearance of it. The best that you can. But we flaunt it and say, well, I was born again. I can do what I want. I can pop a top, boy, woo, and do what I want to do. Say what I want to say, man. Hey, I'm once saved, always saved. Woo, I'm that party down. Hey, God's with me, man. Mm-hmm. Well, that's Russian roulette. I said, that's Russian roulette. That's up to you. You want to try that. I'm not trying that. I'm going to take the repentance road. I'm going to take holiness. I'm going to take, Lord, forgive me every day road. Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I thought that. I saw that. I heard that. I wanted that. Come on. Forgive me, Lord. Now, you better be careful. You better be careful how you walk your Christianity out. Don't let no pastor walk it out for you. I'm about to run around. Don't let no man of God walk it out for you. You walk it out according to the word and by the spirit of grace inside of you. If it's sin, run away from it. Why do you got to be near it? Why do you got to act? Well, I can get close to that. It don't bother me. Honey, I don't want to get near it. I don't want to smell your putrid. Now, I'll do it to go minister. I'll go into the sewage and I'll go into the highway. I'll do whatever I have to do to reach somebody. But I ain't going to camp out and live there and act like everything's fine. Oh, I feel good today. He said, you went and you played the harlot. You did it. Verse 9. And it came to pass through the lightness, watch this, of your whoredom. They didn't all of a sudden go to Bud Light, honey. They didn't all of a sudden go Marlboro Lights. They didn't all of a sudden go do a diet. The lightness there, translation means your carelessness. You didn't care. You just let it all hang out. You flopped it everywhere. See, it's too far into the sermon. Now you're kind of like, oh, gosh, I got a coma. I can't handle anymore. Should have hit him early, Curtis. But this is true. Everything flops. Honey, if you got everything flopping, including men, you got a problem. Somebody said, what's he going to say next? It's the truth. I get tired of it. I get tired of all of the skin and everything that happens. I'm talking about the church, too. Boom, 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 bouncing in the house of God, man. Shaking everything till it breaks. I mean, come on now. Tighten it up and cover it up. It's just, there's no embarrassment. And then you wonder why the men are following you and vice versa and everybody's wanting to shack up and all these different things. Come on now. It's the truth. And it's in the house of God. Ain't nothing wrong with courting. Ain't nothing wrong with being attracted. Ain't nothing wrong with God putting you together. But hunting it like a hound dog? Come on. Watch this. Your carelessness of her whoredom. Didn't care. Who cares about it? that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and sticks. You know what that's speaking of? It's speaking of orgies. It's speaking of worshiping. They had an outward form of worship to Jehovah, but inwardly they were having orgies and they were having sexual sins and lust and all of this stuff in the house of God, in the temples of the enemy, fallen gods and fallen spirits, all these things of debaucheries they were involved in, everything that was anti-God. And God is telling the church today, get out of it. Get away from it. Stay clean. Don't let it be named among you. Verse 10. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly. There it is. False religion. False repentance. Plastic bananas is what we got today in the church. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than the treacherous Judah. Listen to this. Judah was worse. Judah became worse by what she learned. That's why each generation gets worse and worse in America, because we learn from our fathers. Come on. What our children are doing today, they learned from the hippie days. Free love, baby. Free sex. Just do it. Whatever happens, happens. Let it out. Get out of the closet. Be yourself. Be free. Be courageous. Be a hero. And then it comes on to our children, and now they don't even know who they are. Watch the progression of sin. And it ain't got nothing to do with administrations. It's got everything to do with the manifestation of a devil and a church that has gone to sleep and no longer preach righteousness and holiness to its nation. No more. We don't talk to our church no more like we should. And therefore, it's run rampant like cancer. Done treacherously. Did worse. They didn't learn their lesson. They saw what happened to the northern kingdom, and Judah still sinned. He was dealing, listen to this, God was dealing with the 10 tribes of Israel for about 260 years. When I tell you that God is slow to anger, that's a long time. 260 years, and there was not one king out of the 19 that did the right thing. Look at it. Study it. 260 years. Not one king of the 19 had been godly. And God says, listen, when it comes to a certain height of sin and I can't find nobody to repent, I can't find anybody to call upon my name, I will judge you. That's America right there. We can't even find our top dog preachers that would literally stand up and say, quit following a political entity and follow Christ. Quit worshiping the emperor. Quit worshiping somebody who's flesh and bone, who without Christ is going to split hell wide open. Quit following them and trying to connect them to the crucifixion of Christ. That's blasphemic. And you got a problem yourself if you follow and believe those things. There is nobody like Jesus. Nobody even comes close. Not even close. But we're tainted with this belief that a political entity can save us. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You have fallen down and cracked your head, and you need some help. Verse 12, I'm closing. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. That sounds good to me. For I am merciful. Yes, you are, says the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Aren't you glad? I said, aren't you glad? Only acknowledge thine iniquity. That's all you got to do. Look how easy this is. You make it so hard. No, I don't. No, he don't. I'm mad. I'm going to fix it. Here's the Lord saying, I'm not going to do this forever. Just turn to me. Just admit I got you. Pride won't admit it. Pride says, no, 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 I didn't do it. He did it. Johnny did it. Mary did it. Mary did it. I didn't do it. Mary made me do it. The devil made me do it. Not saying Mary's the devil, but you know what I'm saying. I better correct that now. No, the devil made me do it. Look, my color made me do it. It don't matter what kind of part of the rainbow you are. That person made me do it. Or my ancestors, because of this, they made me do it. No, you're a product of your own sin. You're a product of your own decisions. And when you finally own up to it, you'll find redemption. And then you won't be in slavery to no man. Come on, you won't be in bondage to what anybody thinks about you, because it won't matter what they think about you, because you know who you are in Christ. And you're free, and who the Lord sets free is free indeed. Come on, I wish I had somebody help me. That's what the message is truly about, being free. Let no man have rights over you. But you can only do this, verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against who? The Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers of the evergreen tree, and you have not obeyed my voice. He's saying, look, I caught you. You're in sin. I've caught you. You know what you've done is wrong. Churn, O backslidden children. Backsliding children, saith the Lord. For I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. You know what this means right here? He's saying, and I've been preaching this for the longest time, and I found scripture there to back that thing up. He's not looking at the nation corporately. He's talking individually. We're not going to save this nation. You hear this, preacher. You're not going to save this nation by any legislation or by any election. It won't happen. It will only happen individually. And God is interested in your family. He's interested in our children. He's interested in our neighbors individually. Get them out of Babylon. Get them out of bondage. Get them saved. Quit trying to change things. I just cringe when I hear these guys comparing political people with Christ, and then hearing about the money they've raised. And the church can't get enough money to build a widow's home. You gotta have an auction. You gotta have a chili cook-off. You gotta do something with Bozo the Clown to get people to give money, when people give money to Bozo the Clown very freely because they're promised some type of utopia. It just makes me want to just vomit. That's how you know the church is messed up. I'm closing with this. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart. Isn't that going to be good? He's talking about restoration. He's going to go into the kingdom here in a minute. But he says, I'm giving you pastors who have mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's what we need today. We need some pastors that love, that give us knowledge, that give us understanding, that care about the people today, that care about the folks. Instead of these charlatans and these warlocks and these witches that stand in our pulpits today, that all they want from you is an applause and your money. I was over in Kings Mountain area there. Actually, it was in Gastonia with my mother-in-law, as she was there in the hospital, as you know, for open heart surgery. And as I was talking to her husband, my father-in-law, I had found out that the church they've been going to for over how many, 5 years, if not more, giving them all kinds of things and using their business to help the church, help them build a building. Not one person came to visit her. Come on, somebody. With her chest open wide and then working on her heart, not one, not even the pastor showed up to visit. Not a card, not a flower, not a visitation. My very words to her, to my father-in-law, was, leave that place, because if that hireling right there couldn't come and see you in your time of need, when all hell breaks loose in America, you won't find him. He's going to tuck tail and he's going to run, like so many that are listening today that have pastors who don't care about you. You better find you a pastor that loves you. And I don't know any greater shepherd than Jesus Christ, who loves you. If you're watching me right now and you don't know that great shepherd, his name is Jesus. He'll never leave you and never forsake you. You can be anywhere, at any place, at any time, and he will visit you if you invite him. I pray that you do it today. If you're backslidden, today's the day to get it right. Come on, church. We can do better than what we're doing today. God is pleading with us. Judgment is coming in a greater manner. Today is the day to stay clean, get ready, and be faithful in Jesus' name. Father, we love you. We thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross of Calvary and what you're still doing today. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody, I love you. I'll see you Wednesday. Be blessed.